Well, I just mentioned a moment ago that we're going to take a hiatus, really just a week-long break from our study in the book of Acts. If you'll take your Bibles this morning, turn it to the book of John. The book of John, we're going to be looking at John 15. This morning I want to talk about the greatest love. I read a story this week I had never read before. It was about Peter Francisco. Peter Francisco was a towering figure, literally. He was just a large human being, originally from the Azores, an island chain off of Portugal. Peter was brought to America as a young boy, but he grew up then in Virginia. He was in the American War of Independence. By the time he was 16 years old, he was already 6'6 and weighed 260 pounds. Now, I want you to think, that's a big man in our age, but 200 and almost 50 years ago, that was a giant of a man. But his size and his strength would be used and be shown to be invaluable in the cause for independence. Peter enlisted in the Continental Army at the age of 16. He quickly gained reputation for his bravery and his physical prowess. During the Battle of Brandywine, he carried a wounded soldier to safety despite being injured himself. His acts of bravery caught the attention of a certain general, General George Washington, who ordered a custom-made broadsword for him. This broadsword was almost 6 feet long. I want you to understand the broadswords that they would have worn in that time were probably, you know, about 4 foot with that. So it was a gigantic sword. It weighed nearly 10 pounds. So I want you to go find a 10-pound weight and see if you can wield that thing around at all. But this man was a giant. One of his most legendary acts occurred during the Battle of Guilford Courthouse in North Carolina in 1781. In the heat of battle, Peter found himself surrounded by British soldiers. Armed with his massive sword, he single-handedly fought off several enemies. He was outnumbered, but his skill, his strength, and his courage allowed him to survive against the odds. But not only survive, he ended up taking the standard bearer for the other side captive. Later that same year, Peter performed another heroic act. When a group of British soldiers captured him in South Carolina, he was left bound and guarded by several men, but he was determined to escape. He managed to free himself and single-handedly took down multiple guards before seizing one of their horses to make his escape. Francisco's courage became legendary among his compatriots. His deeds inspired other soldiers to press on and to fight harder. He continued to serve with honor until the end of the war, taking part in many, many critical battles. After the war, Peter Francisco became known as the Virginia Giant, one of America's first military heroes. Ever since then, we've had, unfortunately, many other conflicts. As I mentioned earlier, we've had some 41 million people serve in our armed services since the beginning of our country. But among those 41 million have been many heroes. Today, as we gather and we honor veterans, I think we are going to turn to a very powerful verse from the Gospel of John that speaks to the heart of sacrifice and of love and of service for others. Will you look with me at John 15, verse 13? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This passage, this verse of Scripture gives us a powerful description and picture of sacrificial love. The kind of love that doesn't merely speak words or give lip service, but really shows that it causes action. It does something, even to the point of ultimate sacrifice. You know, that's the type of love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross. That's what he showed us. But it's also that love that echoes down the corridor of time, that of the sacrifices made by our veterans. who have served and in some cases laid down their lives to perfect and defend the freedoms that we have today. And so this Veterans Day, as we reflect on this verse and these thoughts, I want you to see how it offers a framework for us to honor those who have served and gone on before us, honoring the bravery, the commitment, and the selflessness of those who have served. I want to look at three central ideas and try to connect these to John 15, 13. This idea of sacrifice and friendship and love, and consider how each one of these elements not only honors the service of those that have guarded those freedoms that we enjoy today, but also points us towards Christ, for He is our ultimate example. The first thing I want you to see is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Isn't that the heart of service? Sacrifice? At the very core of our Lord's words here in John 15, 13 is a call to sacrificial love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. When somebody lays down their life or is willing to, that speaks to sacrifice. To lay down one's life is the ultimate act of giving. It's a sacrifice that asks for everything. I was trying to think of the illustration I heard many years ago about a pig and a chicken, and they wanted to, the pig said, listen, we ought to do something nice for the farmer. He's feeding us every day, and we think we ought to give him some, the chicken said, you know, the farmer's feeding us every day. We need to give him something for breakfast. And the pig said, well, that's great. What are you thinking about? And the chicken said, listen, I'm thinking about eggs and ham. And the pig said, well, you know, that takes a little bit of giving on yourself, but it's the ultimate sacrifice for me, right? Everybody thinks it's okay for somebody else to give the ultimate sacrifice. But the Lord said, I'll be the one to go. I remember being deeply moved. I was very young, but the first time I ever heard a little, I don't even know what you'd call a little slogan, and I don't know if it was on a bumper sticker or I read it somewhere. You see, you were deeply moved by a bumper sticker. Well, the thought behind it, it said, all gave some, but some gave all. And I remember thinking about that, even as a young child, thinking there are people who have sacrificed and have served to protect our freedom, and there are some that have given their life for those freedoms. Veterans embody that spirit of sacrifice. I think they are standing as a modern-day reflection of this truth, the willingness to lay down their life for others. When someone enters into the service, they are committing to a readiness to give up their own safety, their own comfort, their own dreams, and in some cases, sadly, their own lives. Their willingness to sacrifice is not just for duty. It's an offering made for something greater than themselves. It's to protect freedom that God has given to us. I'll tell you, in today's world, sacrifice, it feels very foreign. We live in a culture that tells us to prize and to elevate and to encourage us to seek our own personal comfort. Now, I'm not preach all the headlines, but there are music moguls today that are going to be spending a very long time in jail because they were doing nothing but pursuing their own pleasure, do you understand? It's wickedness. That's what the culture tells us. Seek your personal comfort. Seek your personal convenience. I was thinking about some of the boys that we have right now that are off in their training. And one of them is in RASP. Andrew's in RASP. And Bill, I don't know anything about it, but it's about becoming an Army Ranger. And Bill said for the next, I don't remember how many weeks, their job is to try to make him quit. And then get him to quit. Now, then they're going to find out that they don't have to worry about them quitting on the field. But if they'll stick it out now, they believe they're going to stick it out in the field. They're developing character. And they're not really comfortable. You understand that? But a little bit of minor inconvenience now is nothing like it will be on the battlefield. So in the life of a soldier, even Paul understood that being a soldier was difficult. Endure the hardness of a good soldier, he told Timothy. So we need to understand that veteran service requires a willingness to put others before themselves, to endure those hardships, to stand guard, and oftentimes in places very far from home. They know the cost, and yet they still serve. I think this really sends an incredible message to us all. And as I said earlier, it's a living example of the kind of love that Jesus describes right here in verse 13. I mean, don't forget that Jesus' sacrifice was ultimately a choice. He said, "I lay my life down and I pick it up again." He volunteered to do what no one else could do. And when he laid down his life, he did it so that each and every one of us could be redeemed. He offers redemption because of that sacrifice. His love was not just lip service. It was followed up with a sacrificial action. In many ways, we are called to reflect that same love to others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't believe we're all called to the military. And I think Christians really need to know God's mind on it before they go in that direction. But if they are called, then they need to obey. But all of us can love with that sacrificial love, more than just lip service, with the same kind of sacrifice that Christ did for us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I think oftentimes we think that loving our neighbor is great as long as it fits into our calendar, as long as it fits into our schedule. And if we can schedule it, if we can make it work, if I'm not inconvenienced in some way, I'll be glad to love somebody. As long as it doesn't cost me too much time, too much resources, too much of an investment. Boy, if I start bringing this person to church, they're gonna want to talk to me all the time. They're gonna corner me. They're gonna try to have a monopoly on my time. They might text me during the week. It's horrible. I'm just saying, we don't say this out loud, but we're very careful about how we are willing to get involved in other people's lives because of the engagement that we know is going to take from us. Well, listen, I've got work. I've got ministry. But listen, work and ministry without the investment and sacrifice of time and resources is just busy work. Now, the veterans we honor today made a choice to put their lives on the line to protect the freedoms that we sometimes take for granted. Let's honor that choice and remember their service. Remember that it points us to Christ, but remember that we can honor them by loving others. I believe that's a valid way to honor those that have served. Take advantage of the freedoms that God has given us. I'm thankful for the veteran's sacrifice, but I'm eternally grateful for the Lord's sacrifice. Sacrifice is the heart of our service. Secondly, I want you to see from John 15, 13, that we need to serve others, not ourselves. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. There's not a period there. It says, for his friends. For his friends. Jesus speaks of sacrifice, but it's not some abstract or distant thing. It is in the here and now. It's personal. It's a relational commitment. Do you ever realize that? You know, when you go to the next verse, he says, you're my friends. Don't think that I'm talking about people that are halfway around the world, although he was. But he was saying to those disciples right then and there, I'm about to lay down my life for you. The people that he invested his life, those last 3 years, had poured himself into them. The love that Jesus describes is one that steps in and serves, but it's with a particular person in mind. You've heard it said many times, and maybe I've said it before, but if you're the only one that Christ would have went to the cross just for you, just for your sin, he loves you. It's not just that he loves all mankind. He loves you. But I just wonder, we get so caught up. Friends, listen. We get so caught up in our own lives that we don't think about those that are outside of our bubble. Those that need Christ. Those that need loved. Those that could use a Christian just like you to step into their life and point them to Christ. I'm thankful that when Jesus says, for his friends, he's talking about me. He's talking about you. It's that personal touch. I'm thankful for Proverbs 18:24. The second half of it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I think that's a reference to the Lord. At least that truth is true about him. You know, for veterans, it's their fellow citizens, their comrades in arms they're fighting for, their country that they willingly go to serve and protect. But more than all of those, it's their families. It's that personal touch that says, listen, I want my family to be safe. I want my family to have those freedoms. It always starts at the most basic element of society, and that's the family. And from there it grows. A common experience shared by veterans is the deep, unbreakable bond they form with their fellow soldiers, that camaraderie. There's nothing that rivals that, I don't believe, in our society today. Serving together, especially in times of combat and danger, it forges a kind of brotherhood that is difficult, really, I think, to even describe. Now, I've never been in any kind of combat, but I can tell you just from personal experience, the camaraderie that you have with those that you serve with is different than any other kind of friendship you'll have in your entire life. I can't imagine how much the more for those that have been under fire and been in danger together. They rely on each other. They put each other's lives in the hands of their compatriots. They share in each other's burdens. They protect each other in those life-threatening situations. I read about a man by the name of Desmond Doss. He says that he was a soft-spoken Virginia boy who had firm religious convictions. Now, he believed in the sanctity of life, and I agree with him on that, but he refused to carry a weapon or take a life. I would disagree with him on that. I think in war, we're called to defend. And there's nothing wrong when you are in what we call a righteous war. There's a phrase that's just escaped me, and I can't think of it, talking about what determines whether or not it is a war that we should be involved in. There's a lot of things that go into it. The just war theory is what it's called. But this Desmond Doss, when World War II began, even though he refused to take another life, he felt compelled to help protect his country, and he joined the army. If you can believe this, they would never let this go today, but he joined the army and refused to carry a gun. Now, he joined as a medic, be able to help those that had been shot or hurt. You can imagine the ridicule and rejection that he received from fellow soldiers who probably thought of him more as a liability than an asset. But in April of 1945, Doss's unit was ordered to capture a 400-foot cliff named Hacksaw Ridge on the island of Okinawa. The ridge was heavily defended by Japanese forces, entrenched in bunkers and tunnels. The assault was brutal, with wave after wave of soldiers cut down as they attempted to advance. The American forces ultimately were ordered to retreat. But dozens of wounded soldiers were left stranded on top of the ridge, unable to escape. Doss, who had stayed on the ridge, saw the wounded scattered across the battlefield, and really, in that moment, he made a decision that would define him for the rest of his life. Without a weapon to defend himself, he crawled through the gunfire to each injured soldier, tended their wounds, and then dragged them to the edge of the cliff. And using a rope, he would lower them down that 400-foot cliff to safety. He worked tirelessly through the night, and every time he whispered a prayer, Lord, help me get just one more. Let me get just one more. By the end of the ordeal, Doss had saved 75 men. Despite exhaustion, he refused to leave the battlefield until he was sure every soldier he could reach had been rescued. You know, his bravery under fire, all while remaining unarmed and never firing a single shot at the enemy, became legendary. And the men who had once mocked him came to deeply respect this young man with his courage and his faith. You know, in recognition of his incredible bravery, President Harry S. Truman awarded him the Medal of Honor. He was the first conscientious objector to ever receive the U.S. military's highest honor. But in that time of war, and in that time of just peril, he served others. It's really convicting to think about. It wasn't convenient, certainly wasn't safe. And in that, he forged a bond with those men that would never be broken. You know, I believe that if we as Christians would pour ourselves into others, if we would disciple somebody, if we see somebody come to the Lord and see them mature, there is a special bond that is forged through that. I think about some of the people that were instrumental in my life. And I thank God for them. And there's still a respect that I have for them because of their willingness to invest in my life. Are you investing in somebody? Are you serving others? We can't just look at the veterans and say, well, listen, they can serve. We look at the Lord and we understand that He is the perfect picture of service. He laid down His life for us, not out of obligation, but out of love. We can't just look around and say, somebody else can serve. We might be tempted to say, I've already served, I've already done my time. Can I just say there's no retiring from the Lord's army? You know what I see oftentimes is the sacrifice of veterans extends far beyond the battlefield. For many, they bring a lot of pain home with them as they try to reintegrate into civilian life, facing challenges like PTSD, physical injuries, dealing with the psychological scars of warfare. They've given and given and given, not for personal gain, but for the welfare of others. I think when we look at our veterans and honor their service, we're reminded that love is active. Love is a verb. It does something. It causes people to have that special bond. Yes, especially when you suffer together, but it also should cause us to do something for others, to serve. Now, not every man would agree with me in this, but I will say comparatively speaking, all right, let me preface that. It's easy to love in words. Some men would say, no, it's not. But comparatively speaking, it's easier to love in words than it is to love in deed. Put others first, even when it's at personal cost. And that's what Christ's love looks like for us. A love that says, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Let's extend that gratitude and compassion, first of all, to our veterans who have served, but also to those who need the gospel, to those that we rub shoulders with. Let us serve them well. John here talks about sacrifice. He talks about service, but I want to touch on this superior love, the superior love. It says, greater love hath no man. I didn't want to start with this one because it kind of encapsulates everything we've been talking about today. In this statement, Jesus is really quantifying love. Have you ever thought about that? Now, I don't know that it's measured in inches or yards or miles. Sometimes it is. I love you to the moon and back. I don't know that it's measured in volume. We talk about, what is the song where the quill, if every ocean were ink? Something was a quill, I don't remember. I just know it means a lot of love. It's a lot. Sometimes we measure it in weight. I love you a ton. Mostly I'm thinking about that when somebody gives me a donut. They're trying to get me up there. But the Lord is quantifying love. There is a superior love than, I wouldn't say inferior, but it's not as much. Greater love. Think about that. A love that is sacrificial, a love that drives us to serve others is a superior love. Think about some of the things that you've had people do for you. That's a greater love. Their service to you. I don't want to reduce it to just the only way to have a superior love is to be in the military. I don't believe that's what this is saying. What it is saying is that those that have served are demonstrating a superior love. But we're all called to have a greater love. A love that sacrifices. A love that serves. It takes something from us. A love that is active and not passive. A love that does and doesn't just speak. Jesus calls to live a life of sacrificial love, a love full of service. I thought about this. When he talks about this love, he's talking about his character. This is who he is. This is who he wants us to reflect to the rest of the world. How will we react to that? How will we reflect that character of God in our lives? With the words, I'm too busy. I don't want to get involved. I have too much going on. That would push me out of my comfort zone. I just can't. That's not my personality. We all have our own excuses. We don't call them excuses. You know what we call them? Reasons. You don't understand my calendar. I understand. Somebody told me this a long time ago, and I didn't like when they told me this because they were right. We will have time for what we want to have time for. And what they were saying is, when we prioritize something, we'll make time for it. Very rarely do I ever, am I so busy that I miss a meal? I know you're shocked to hear that. Not really. We have time for what we want to have time for. So Veterans Day becomes more than just a commemoration. It ought to become a reminder of what love in action looks like. When we honor veterans, we honor the qualities of courage and loyalty and duty and selflessness. And those are the qualities that we find their truest and most perfect form in the Lord Jesus Christ. In that sacrificial love of veterans, we see a reflection. It's partial, but it's a powerful reflection of Christ's love for us. And so, as we think about our veterans today, let's not just thank them with our words, but let's honor them by embodying that spirit of sacrifice, by displaying that spirit of service to others and have a greater love, even as they have shown to us. We may not be called to the same acts of service that they were or they are, but we are each called to live a life that reflects Christ's love of sacrifice and service to others. I think we need a reminder in this world of what selfless love looks like. More than ever, a love that goes beyond our own desires and seeks the well-being of others. So I challenge you, when you see somebody in uniform or you see somebody with a hat showing that they served, it's a good reminder to thank them for their service, but it ought to be a reminder of the great service and sacrifice that God has made on our behalf. I think we ought to give thanks. In a moment, we're going to close in a word of prayer. And we're going to ask God to help us to be more focused on others, to serve others. And the invitation is going to be about sacrificial love. I think you've figured that out already. To have a superior love. But after the invitation, before we're dismissed, I want to have a time of prayer for those that are serving today. Would you bow your heads with me? Just close your eyes for a moment. Say, Pastor, were you trying to elevate veterans today? Or were you trying to get us to be more mindful of being sacrificial and servant-minded? I would say yes. I want to be grateful to those that have served. And I think we should, and it is good. But I also want to be reminded of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice and service that He demonstrated on our behalf. But then I think we need to be reminded that we should be reflecting that in our lives as well. You say, Pastor, when I look at my love, I couldn't say that it's superior. I don't sacrifice very much. I'm not really serving anyone but myself. But God has shown me that I need to be willing to invest in others, to love others with that superior love, even the love that Jesus loved me with. Say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning about my own service to Him. If that's you this morning, will you let me pray for you? Just raise your hand. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. I believe the truth is we need to be reminded to come out of our bubble and to serve others. Sometimes the best way we can serve them is sharing the gospel. We're going to have an invitation, and when we're done singing, we're going to go back to our seats, and then we'll be praying for those that are serving today. Father, I thank you for those that raised their hand, and I pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to be better servants, to be willing to sacrifice. We thank you for those that have served already and how they are an example of selflessness. But Lord, more than anything, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and His example, His perfect example of laying His life down for His friends. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, today would be the day of their salvation. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name.